We looked at those verses as to what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. These are some of the most exciting and some of the most evangelistic verses in all of God's Word. And so I want to encourage you to be here and be a part of that time. I was asked to share that message again, and I believe it's worthy of doing. So the question is, for these next few minutes, when you hear the word patriot, what do you think about? What comes to mind? Is it red, white, blue flags? You think about people like George Washington, or maybe Paul Revere, or Tom Jefferson. I wonder if Jesus tarries for another 100 years, which I doubt seriously, but if he does, I wonder what what statesman from our era will be remembered with honor. What do you think about? Well, one of the things that I think about is brave men and women. I know that you've done this, but let's do it a little bit differently. If you served in the United States Army, would you stand for a minute, please? United States Army. These are guys that go crawling through the mud to get shot at. Thank you, gentlemen. If you served in the United States Coast Guard, would you please stand? No Coast Guard. How about the United States Navy? These guys volunteer to be closed up in a tin can and float around under the ocean for weeks on end. Months. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. The United States Marine Corps. If you served in the Marine Corps, would you stand? Really? We have a group this size and not a single Marine veteran in here. Wow. United States Air Force. Three of us. Face it, we had the easy duty most of the time. Thank you, John. These guys, patriots. Their moms and dads were patriots too. You know how I know that? Because they raised children that became patriots. They taught them those kinds of values. What is a patriot? Well, we're going to use several words to describe patriots this morning. First of all, a patriot is passionate. John 2:15-17 says, "And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables, and he told those that sold pigeons, take those things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. There was real passion in the life of Christ during that day, during that action. One of the things that troubles me in the church and in our nation today is that passion seems to be missing, especially missing from Christianity and the place of Christianity in our great country. And I believe that the reason too many young Americans appear not to believe in God and country today is because their parents are no longer passionate about God and country. Because their parents have come to the place of saying, well, those are private matters. Because the parents have said, well, when they get old enough, they can decide on their own. How in God's name can they decide anything on their own if there's not been a foundation laid for them to decide from? Most people are passionate about something. Their dogs. Their golf scores. Their boats. But all of us have those things that are extremely important to us. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart would also be. What is your treasure today? I know. We're in church. We're Christians. It's Jesus. Right? Really? What is it in your life that is the number one priority? What takes priority over the things of God? What takes priority over serving God? Who are those people, or what is that thing or that activity that is the most important thing you have in your life? That's where your treasure is. That's what you'll be passionate about. That's what will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck when somebody interferes. That's what will cause you to lose sleep at night or get up early in the morning or stay up most of the night. What is it that you are passionate about? What are those things that come along in your life on fairly regular basis and are the easy things to use as a replacement for serving God? Patriots are passionate. Patriots are available to serve. Isaiah 6:8 says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. One of the things that I know about you and me this morning is that we're older than we used to be. Even the youngest among us is older than they used to be. And so let me ask you this question. To this point, what have you done with your life? Up to now, what have you done with your time? What's been the focus of life? What do you have planned for the remaining days and years of your life? Have you used the days past for the glory of God? Do you have any plans of using the remaining days of life, whether it is 1 year or 70 years? Yeah, some of us won't make that. But do you have any plans for ensuring those days will be used to honor God? Will you use them for the good of our country? Or like so many, and so many in our generations, have you given up on this land? Have you joined the ranks of those that say, well, it doesn't matter anymore? Or I'm only one and I can make no difference. I've heard more people in the last 7 days say these words: I'm not going to bother with voting. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. If you have not already voted, do you plan to do so by Tuesday evening? I sure hope so. And I sure hope that when you go to mark those ballots, you pray about what you're doing and you use biblical principles to decide who you're going to vote for, not just in the presidential election, but others. What do these people want to accomplish? You know, I believe that the voice of the Lord is still speaking to us today. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Are you too busy? Are you too busy with things of the world and things of this life to be concerned about the things of God? You see, I believe that voting in this election is part of the things of God. Can He depend on you in this election? Not just to vote, but can He depend on you to vote in ways that honor Him? Are you too busy? Are you too unconcerned? Or like the prophet Isaiah, are you standing tall and saying, here am I, send me, I'm available. Not only am I available, I'm ready. A patriot is trustworthy. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel and in regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found within him." Daniel was faithful. He was faithful, first of all, to his God. You know, you can't be a patriot, not a true patriot, and not be faithful to God. You cannot be true to the United States of America and the principles upon which our nation was founded and not be faithful to God. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to the country, his country. He was a POW and he was still faithful. Not only was Daniel faithful, but he could be trusted. He could be trusted by God. He could be trusted by God to be obedient. He could be trusted by God to be faithful. He could be trusted by his friends and his neighbors. He could be trusted by his government. One of the problems we have in our land today is that people have lost trust in the government. Are we to be trusted by the government? Are we faithful? A patriot is ready to defend. Nehemiah 4, beginning of verse 16, says, "From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction." "Half held spears, shields, bows, coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall." Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. They were prepared, folks. Are you prepared to defend what you say you believe? I mean, really? Are you prepared to stand up in the face of opposition for what you believe? What you believe America is supposed to be. What you believe God says we are. What you believe God says you're supposed to be and I'm supposed to be. Are you ready to defend that? Not unless you're a person of conviction, because a patriot is a person of conviction. Mark 1:22 says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." They knew what they believed, and they knew why they believe it. They had convictions on which they would not move. You know, it ought to be the same with Christians. We ought to know what we believe. We really ought to know what we believe. We ought to know what we believe about God. We ought to know what we believe about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about sin, about salvation, about the power of God in our lives. We ought to know what we believe. These convictions, these beliefs, ought to be founded on the Word of God and not on tradition. My Old Testament professor, when I was in college, a fellow by the name of Dr. Jerry Lee. I remember sitting in Dr. Lee's classes as he would begin to share with us about sections of the Old Testament and about how God was working and how God was doing this and how he had done this and what his plan was for this. And as he began to unpack all of the truths that he could unpack for us, day after day I would sit in his class. And more times than not, as Dr. Lee would talk to us about God working and God living and God being in alive in the Old Testament and share those things with us, more times than not, there would be tears running down his cheek and a tremor in his voice. Some 25 years later, our third son was sitting in Dr. Lee's Old Testament class. And he called me one afternoon and he said, "You know what I can't get over?" He said, this professor has been teaching this same material since before you came to school here. So for now more than 30 years, he had been teaching the same lessons in the same classroom to new students year after year after year after year. And Matthew said to me, "It just amazes me that as familiar as he is with these truths and as many times as he's taught this, that the conviction and the reality and the tenderness with which God works in his life is just as fresh today as it was when you were here." And he speaks, and as he teaches, the tears roll down his face and his voice trembles as he shares what God is doing fresh and new with a new group of students. Because his relationship with God was real, and because God's mercies were new and fresh every morning, and because he was convinced that the plan God had so many years before when he first started teaching was the plan that he had today, decades later, at least in his life. Are we people of conviction? Is our conviction based on what God says or on what some preacher said somewhere? I learned at an early stage in ministry how terribly important it is for us to speak the word of truth. I hadn't been a pastor very many years. And as my custom was, I was standing at the door as folks were leaving, and I watched two of our dear, sweet ladies as they were approaching me, and they were great friends, but I could tell that they were arguing. And when they got to me, I asked them what was the problem. And one said to me, "She disagrees with what you said, and I'm trying to convince her because you're the preacher. She can't disagree with you." And I said to the other one, "Please don't let her convince you of that." Hey, we are fallible. B, if you struggle with something that is said by a leader of the church, then get into the Word and find out what God said. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take your grandmother's word for it, though I'm sure she got it all right, but don't take her word for it. Get into the Scripture and find out what God says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes." You know, there's a lot of garbage being poured out from behind pulpits today. A lot of it's coming over the airwaves. A lot of it's happening in churches, and people are being deceived right and left. Get into the Word. Be people of conviction based on what God says, not on what some person has said. And finally, I want to say to you that a patriot is committed. These men that stood a while ago, and millions of others like them, and ladies as well, are part of a unique group. They are veterans of the United States Armed Forces. One of the things that means is there was a specific point in time when they picked up an ink pen, and I know it was an ink pen because they were not allowed to use pencil. They picked up an ink pen and they signed this document in affirmation of their oath and their promise to our nation. And what they ended up signing was a blank check. That in some instances required the entirety of that man or woman's life. Because their commitment ended in death. Not all of us had to pay that total price. So we get to be home, and we get to be with you and with our families, and we get to have families. Some of them didn't. We owe these brave men and women a debt of gratitude. And we should do everything within our power to make sure that the land and the freedom that they fought for and gave their lives for, and some died for, that freedom is not eroded. And as Christians, as Christ followers, we must also remember that our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, and we must be completely committed to the advancement of that kingdom and to His glory.
And to His honor. Let's pray again.
Father, thank you for this time that we've been allowed to spend in this place. Thank you for these that have come, for the word that you have given us,